This morning, the message is entitled, A Living Testimony. Amen. It's your testimony. Your life is a living testimony. So your testimony, what's in your wallet? Turn to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18. I want to look to verse 24. Verse 24. It says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. A man who has friends. Well, friend is a favored companion, one attached to another by affection or esteem. Must himself be friendly. Friendly is the characteristic of or befitting a friend, showing friendship. A man who has friends must himself be a friend. You may have many friends. You may have only a few friends. Some are only acquaintances, and some true friends. A friend is someone you can hang out with, have fun with, and depend on. And the Bible has a lot to say about friendship. But it's different from what you might expect. Author John O'Day wrote, our preoccupation is usually with having friends. The Bible's focus is on being a friend. Big difference. You see, there are a lot of people in this world who want friends, but not everybody wants to be a friend. What they want is the benefits of being friends, but not in the reciprocal sense of the word. You can have a lot of acquaintances, but only a few people will become your best friends. These are kindred spirits, such as David and Jonathan, whose souls were knit together. And when they're knit together, they're hard to get apart, aren't they, Floriana? Now, a kindred spirit is a person who shares the same beliefs, attitudes, or feelings as oneself, also known as kindred soul. Friendships like this will endure even though the intensity of the friendship will ebb and flow over time. Now that same scripture, Proverbs 18:24 in the Message Bible, says friends come and friends go. But a true friend sticks by you like family. Once you take Jesus as your Savior, God considers you a friend. But more importantly, He considers you family in every sense of the word, right down to your inheritance. Turn to James chapter 3, or James chapter 2, verse 23. James chapter 2, verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed. Abraham believed. You want to be a friend of God, don't you? It says here that Abraham believed God. What did he believe God for? The promise. What do you believe in God for? The promise. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that everybody has at least had one best friend, right? Well, best friend is a person who you value above other friends in your life. Someone you have fun with, someone you trust, someone in whom you confide. You can share with them knowing there's going to be no condemnation brought on you. and there's not going to be no judgment against you. And you know, but the one thing that is hard to figure is why so many people don't want a best friend relationship with the one who made them and knows them better than anyone else. Most people like friends who are actually interested in them, right? Well, let me tell you, there's no one more interested in you than God. He loves you because He loves His Son. And the more you love His Son, Jesus, the more you understand just how much He loves you, and then you begin to develop a better understanding of how much He wants to go above and beyond to help you. Yes, I said to help you because of His love. And what's Paul say in Romans 8:38? He says, "For I am convinced that nothing," let me repeat that, "nothing can ever separate us from His love." Nothing. That's agape love. It's an unconditional love. Because of that deep love that He has for us, there are so many things that He wants to do for all of us. So many of them. You know, you think about that for a minute. So many things that He wants to do for all of us. Things that if you actually knew 1%, just 1% of them, they would probably blow your mind. 1%. Now, 1% might sound to you like that's pretty small. But remember, we're talking about the Creator of the universe here. Example. Do you remember what a Google is? It is the number one followed by 100 zeros. It's a big number. It's a big number. Now, we're talking God here. What's 1% of a Google? It is the number one followed by 98 zeros. Not too shabby, right? So when we're talking about God, and you think 1%, that's pretty awesome. And 1% will blow your mind. Can you imagine if you can strive for a greater percentage? And it's those kind of things that He's ready, willing, and able to give us as we become more aware of them. And we become more aware of them by spending time with Him, by spending time in His Word, by spending time coming and sitting in the church, not forsaking the assemblies of yourself together, because you need to hear the Word. We need to hear the Word constantly. Because the world's words, what do? Tear you down. Yeah, tear you down. Leave you depressed. Leave you thinking there's no hope whatsoever. That's why we need God's Word. The only thing that He's waiting for, though, is for us to call out in faith and ask Him. And then we are to do what? Trust Him. Trust Him. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. We're going to look to verse 7 and verse 8. Now, I'm going to read those to you out of the Amplified. And it's Jesus, and He says, "Keep on asking, and it will be given you." Sounds pretty straightforward. "Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking reverently, and the door will be opened to you." And then verse 8. I like it. It says, for everyone, each and every one of you sitting here today that's hearing this, for everyone who keeps on asking, receives. And he who keeps on seeking, finds. And to him who keeps on knocking, the door will be opened. Our friend will encourage you and give you hope. Jesus is the friend who sticks closer than a brother. Your best friend. Your best friend. Let me read you something. If you are alone, I'll be your shadow. If you want to cry, I'll be your shoulder. If you are not happy, I'll be your smile. If you need me, I'll always be there. I never change, For I am the same yesterday, today, and forever, your best friend. Makes you wonder why so many people try to go through life without him, facing one thing after another on their own. Just go figure. It doesn't. I sure want him as my best friend. Now, the psalmist David, he realized this, as we read quite often about his relationship that he had with God. Turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. We sang that song this morning, 139. That was this psalm. Verses 10, verses 7 through 10. It says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. When I read that, I could picture that right arm of his around me and saying, this way, Jack, this way. And he's saying that to each and every one of you. He's saying, Elder Denny, this way. I've got you. I've got you. Nobody's going to take away from you what you have, because you have given me the glory for what you have. David is simply saying, everywhere you look, God is there. He is omnipresent, which means he is everywhere, all at the same time. Your human mind just said, that's impossible. Not for God. Nothing is impossible for God. The word says in Matthew 19:26, the International Standard Version, for humans, this is impossible, but for God, all things are possible. So what's possible for God?
All things.
So you can't hide from him. Adam and Eve tried. Jonah tried. You can't escape his presence. So you think that man came up with GPS tracking? Been practiced since the garden. He knows where you're at. You can't escape his presence. You might think you can. And you go and you close that door. He's there with you. In the darkest place, when he says, made my bed in hell, the darkest place there is, he's coming. Because guess what? He's the light. And what's the light do when it walks into darkness? It dispels the darkness. He's right here. Right now. See, you don't have to go any further than the whisper of your voice to find him. He's on call 24/7. You know, you don't even need a Twitter account. You don't need Facebook. You don't need a cell phone. You do not need an internet connection for emailing him. All you need to do is email him in prayer. And it's powered by the Holy Spirit in you, so there's going to be no power shortage. And you have a direct connection made through Jesus Christ. That's better than any fiber optics network that I know. And it goes uninterrupted. He's ready to act on our behalf in a moment's notice. Always ready to be attentive to every one of our needs. And what do we need to do? As Smith Wigglesworth would say, only believe. Only believe. All of us need someone who knows and encourages us, also who will comfort us and build us up. So I'll ask you, is there anyone who really knows us? Is there anyone who really understands us? Well, the clear answer is yes. Yes, there is. God knows everything there is to know about you. And even after knowing everything there is to know about you, He still loves you. He still wants to take care of you. He still wants to be part of your life. Praise God. David was continually amazed that God was so intimately involved in all the circumstances of his life. Every detail, no detail too insignificant or left out or overlooked. Not one. God's amazing. And God, He is no respecter of persons. Turn to Acts. Acts chapter 17. And it says, Acts chapter 10, verse 34. I don't know why I said 17. I got that mixed up with Deuteronomy. Sorry, it was Deuteronomy 10, 17. But I wanted Acts 10. Acts 10:34. It says, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality." Now, this morning I says, I just needed something extra on that. So I went to the Message Bible. And I'll read you that from the Message Bible. Peter fairly exploded with good news. It's God's own truth. Nothing could be plainer. God plays no favorites. It makes no difference who you are or where you're from. If you want God and are ready to do as He says, the door is open. The message He sent to the children of Israel that through Jesus Christ, everything is being put together again. Well, He's doing it everywhere among everyone. That was pretty cool. Message Bible really brought something out there in that. And today, after all this time, God hasn't changed. He hasn't changed. What did He say through the prophet Malachi? What did He say? It says, "For I am the Lord. I do not change." He still wants to be intimately involved in all of our lives. The thing is, most people, including a lot of Christians, are happy with just an occasional acquaintance with God. How sad. All believers know of God, but far too few ever really get to know God in a personal and up-close relationship. Best friends. Best friends. We are easily excited about a lot of things, like football, baseball, hockey, basketball. Come on, everybody's been watching it. The Final Four is over. We got to two. How many of you, how excited were you to watch those games, the intensity of those games? Come on, guys. Then there's NASCAR. Yeah, well, yeah, there's NASCAR. Huh? So pretty much all sports excite us, right? Pretty much, right? I'm not leaving out the hunters. They're sportsmen. I'm telling you, they get excited. They can't wait to get out there in the woods. Right, Rory? Can't wait to get out there. When's our season coming? But then there's food. Food excites people. I've seen a lot of you. Come on. I remember what I used to be like, too. You know? Food. And then there's desserts. Desserts excite us. Come on. Think about that. Carrot cake with cream cheese icing on it. Pistachio pudding. Oh, my. Tiramisu. Come on. Yeah. And then there's plain old ice cream. You make sure you get one of these to Chet. Ice cream. That man loves his ice cream. And then he gets excited, looks forward to having his ice cream every night. And then there's music. People get excited. They get pumped up with music. The concerts they love to go to. The kids, they just went to a concert last night. Tell me they weren't. You guys were excited, weren't you? You had a great time. And you know what? Something else I found out. People get excited about politics.
Oh,
wow. I mean, excited. So pretty much everything excites people, except for some reason, the most exciting thing of all, their Creator. Think about that. The excitement you have for all those things. Do you have that same excitement for the Creator? Our Creator. So I include myself in that. You see, everything good that we enjoy comes from God. James chapter 1, James chapter 1, verse 17, says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Variation is a change in the form, position, condition, or amount of something. So there's no variance with him. And while we freely enjoy what has been given, and what has been given to us? Good and perfect gifts. You would think that everyone would want to have an intimate relationship with God and give thanks for what they have been given. But there's this little thing, just this little thing. It's called a will. And that keeps most people from experiencing all that God has to offer. That little thing called the will. Your will. And I say all because there's so much more. So much more to enjoy. If everyone only knew what it was like to have a real relationship, a personal, upfront, intimate relationship with him through his son, Jesus, they would be amazed every day by the awesome display of love, kindness, and concern he has in all of our lives. Oh, they know bits and pieces about religion. Religion. Because someone has probably preached to them about it instead of telling them about how to have an amazing personal relationship with him. With him, the Father, through his Son, Jesus Christ. It's one thing to talk about the life. It's so much more alluring when someone can see you living the life you're telling them about. What's in your wallet? It's your testimony. He is the Father of lights, and we are the children of the light. Look to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 16. Jesus says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Folks, let your light so shine. Let your light shine. See, if we live for Christ, we will glow like lights. For we do not have an inherent light. Rather, we have a reflective light. Do you get that? We have a reflective light. See, as we behold the glory of the Lord, we reflect it, showing others what Christ is like. We want to be a reflective light of Him. And if you're doing that, then we are then a living testimony. And that is your greatest witnessing tool. Your greatest witnessing tool. How you live in the life. What are they seeing in you? Are they seeing the Christ in you? Amazing things and opportunities start to happen when a person starts to say yes to the things of God. And that includes both the sinners and the saints, folks. Both. Now in Psalm 139, verses 7 and 8, I'll read that again to you. It says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there." And as I said earlier, God is omnipresent. He is present everywhere. So you can never be lost to His Spirit. No matter what we do or where we go, we can never be far from God's presence. So why do some people spend their entire life running from God? Now some, for a season. Now some of you are running from God and what He wants to do in and through your lives. In fact, there's a lot of people in churches all over this United States of America, for that matter. The one question comes to mind. Why run from God? Run to God. Life will be a lot better. Quit running away and run to. Those running away have been on the edge of a real relationship with God forever. Forever. And they have been to the altar many, many times. You see, they have no problem with going to the altar and laying their will down. You see them come up and they come up to the altar and they say, "Lord God, not my will, but yours be done. I lay my will down, your Father. I don't want to do what I want to do. I want to do what you have for me to do, Lord God. Through whatever avenue it is that you could use me, whether it be through going out and being part of the outreach ministry, whether it's my business that's going to be a witness for you and it's bringing glory to you. That's what I want, Lord. Not my will, but yours be done." A couple weeks go by and they come up and they do the same thing again and they're crying out to God. And then they'll come up in a month and they, "Lord God, not my will, but yours be done." Each time though, they forget the most important thing of all. Leave their will behind. Quit, leave it at the altar. That's what you came up to do. You want God's will to be done in your life. Then truly, let Him let yours go down. You'll find out life's a lot more successful. Your business will be a lot more successful. Your business will be a lot more successful when you do it His way, under His guidance, and under His leadership. Turn to Matthew 13, 38. Because, see, these type of people, they are like the parable of the seed sown. Matthew chapter 13 there. Verses 3 through 9. Now, I'm going to read that to you from the Living Bible, so you can follow along. "A farmer was sowing grain in his fields. As he scattered the seed across the ground, some fell beside a path, and the birds came and ate it. And some fell on rocky soil where there was little depth of earth. The plants sprang up quickly enough in that shallow soil, but the sun soon scorched them, and they withered and died, for they had so little root. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns choked out the tender blades. But some fell on good ground and produced a crop that was 30, 60, even 100 times as much as had been planted. If you have ears, listen. Jesus said, if you have ears, listen. Verse 9 in the Message Bible says, are you listening to this? Really listening? Yeah. It's like God saying, porch light's on. Hello, is anybody home? Can you hear me now? What do you hear when you read that scripture? 30, 60, 100. Probably like me. I hear 100. And you should also, every one of you. Not because we're greedy, but because we have learned not to limit what God can do in our lives. And we have been taught through the Word of God that the words that come out of our mouths control what comes into existence in our lives. Romans 4:17 says, we are to call those things which do not exist as though they did. And you do that by faith. And the words of your mouth. Back to Matthew chapter 7. And I'll stay with the King James, New King James this time. And we're going to look to verses 16 through 20. Matthew chapter 7. This is Jesus speaking again. It says, you will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. We are known by our fruits. And while our words aren't considered fruit, they sure can influence the fruit that gets produced in our lives. Everyone loves to think of the potential harvest from the seed. But at some point, one has to ask oneself, what kind of soil am I? What kind of fruit am I producing? Instead, far too many times, this question instead comes to mind. I don't know if I'm capable of something like that. Get involved in the Great Commission outreach here. See what Bob's up to. Don't say, I'm not capable. Don't say, I'm not capable. Because see, that's exactly what the accuser wants you to do. At any given time, he comes up with that. He keeps telling you, you're not capable. Who do you think you are to go up and tell them people about Jesus? Well, guess what? You go up there and you walk in front of them and you start showing the love of Jesus. They're going to see it in you. They're going to see your testimony on how you're walking. Their ears are going to be open. They're going to be listening. Their hearts are going to be changed. They're going to say, I want to know this Jesus. How do I get to know this Jesus? And then you can lead them to Jesus because you are capable. You are capable of this more than you think you are. In fact, every day of the week you're capable because it's where you're at. It's your testimony being seen in your workplace, in your place of business. Is it seen? You are capable because He has empowered you and he's made you capable. See, it's not about him. I mean, it's all about him. It's not about you. It's all about Jesus and what he can do through you. And the key words here are he has. He has empowered you. He has. See, this is one of those 30, 60, 100 moments. You know? It's one of those, to him who has ears, let him hear. You see, when you rely on what God wants and his ability instead of what you want and your ability, it's achievable. Only because of what he is capable of and his goodness, not what you are capable of. It doesn't matter how you look, whether you're young or whether you're old, or what your background is, or what experience you have. The only requirement is that you be a willing participant. And you have to believe what God's word is saying. What is it saying loud and clear? It says, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. But you see, those are the same old arguments that the accuser brings up to you over and over on a daily basis. You're just too young for this. Or it's past your time. You're too old. You're never too old when you're working for God. And you're never too young when he's calling you. Doesn't matter what kind of background you have, because you're a new creation in Christ. Doesn't matter the experience. Because guess what? None of his disciples had any experience, did they? Mm-mm. They went on to do great things, did they not? Amen. Every time you start to be good soil and start to realize what you are capable of, guess what he does? He hits auto replay. And he starts to condemn you. Come on, I've been there. You know, I've been there. He automatically hits that button. And so when the accuser says to you that you can't, what are we to do? We are to tell him, say it with me, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can. I have to do that. I have to do that. And it's time to take the wind out of his sails. Don't you agree? See, and you can do that because God's word says that you can. Back to Psalm 139. Yeah, I should have did like Dean said. Everybody put a bookmark right there. I didn't. Psalm 139. We're going to read verses 11 through 16. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. Remember, you are his masterpiece. He created you. You are artistry. And that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, your eyes saw my substance. Being yet unformed, and in your book, they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet they were none of them. Now the NIV, that last verse, says, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Before one day even came to be, it was already written in the book. Already written in the book. So you think, some of you think, I was just an accident. No, you weren't an accident. He knew you before you were formed. It's what it says. And you have to realize, so that you're not here by chance this morning. No, your days have been ordained. It's no coincidence that you're here. This is the word that God wants you to get your arms around. It's one of those, to him who has ears, let him hear moment. Music to his ears is hearing you say, I hear you, Lord. I hear you. I get what you're saying. It's music to his ears. Verses 17 and 18 there in Psalm 139. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. In the Living Bible, it reads this way. How precious it is, Lord, to realize that you are thinking about me constantly. I can't even count how many times a day your thoughts turn toward me. And when I awaken in the morning, you're still thinking about me. He's still thinking about you. He's thinking about you at night, and you're getting ready to lay your head down for a wonderful night's sleep. And when you wake up in the morning, he's still thinking about you. He's thinking about what's ordained for you to do for the day. Are you going to follow that leading of the Holy Spirit in you? Are you going to be listening? Yeah, you're going to work, but are you going to do what he says while you're at work? Are you going to live that life in front of those that you're going out with? Your testimony. What's in your wallet? Well, just like David realized, you have to realize God has a plan for you. He has had a plan for you since before you were born. And let me tell you, it's a well thought out plan. His plan is laid out with a hope and a future. He was using spreadsheets, folks, before spreadsheets were even known to us. Yeah. So you can see that it has been a well laid out plan. Spreadsheets are used throughout all technology today. Them spreadsheets are, they were the basis of things to start. Well, God started out before that. And he follows those plans. He puts them together and he follows those plans. But are you following them? When I do baby dedications, I tell parents that God, being the creator and architect that he is, has a special plan laid out for their child. And he does. And it's that parent's responsibility to pray and seek the wisdom of God so that they can get them and keep them on track on that plan. And if you keep them on track and on that plan, train up a child in a way that they'd go, they're not going to depart, are they? No, they're going to stay on the plan. But yet the accuser will come at you. And any time that he comes to you and tells you that God's plan is not going to lead you into prosperity. God's plan has no future for you. You simply remind him of what God's word does say. Yes, what God's word says on the subject. He says in Jeremiah, he says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper me and not to harm me and to give me hope and a future." How about you? How about you? Plans to prosper you. Plans to what? Not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. He's giving you, there it is, hope and a future. Prosperity, has it been promised to you? Yes, it has. Sometimes if we're not accomplishing that, you know what we need to do? Go in there, turn the light on, look in the mirror and say, "What am I doing wrong?" Because it's not what he's doing, it's what you're doing wrong. See, he's given us responsibility. He's given us a choice. He's given us a will. But do we want to do our will or do we want to do his will? When you look at that person in that mirror, that's what you need to ask those questions. Now, God, like I said, has several plans for you. Several plans in your life. And you've heard me right when I say that. Plans. Lots of big plans for you. He has extravagant plans laid out for you. Very important plans for you. And God would love to see every one of them come true for you. Yeah, he does. He wants to see you be a success. A success in your business. Because guess what? He will be glorified by that. And you glorify him, that business will be a success. Because if you're not successful in your business, does that bring him any glory? No. But you got to make sure what it was when you first got into it. And you better be seeking him. Is it an Isaac or is it an Ishmael? You got to be seeking him. You got to be wanting to, you want to do what he wants you to do. You want to follow his leading and his guidance. You do, you'll have a future. You're going to have prosperity in your household. There's going to be peace in your household. Peace. Oh. Peace is more valuable than money. I'm telling you. Peace in a household is more valuable than money. Well, God, he takes great pleasure in helping you achieve every one of your plans. And remember, you are capable. Because the sky is not the limit with God. It's beyond that. It's beyond your imaginations, folks. Beyond them. See, David realized with God, all things are possible. How else would he have been able to slay a bear, a lion, a giant, or achieve the battles that he fought for the Lord? The kingdoms he toppled, the king he came to be, or the writer of the Psalms that gives so much comfort to so many of us. A man after God's own heart. A quick one. The difference between him and Saul. Saul was given orders to do something, and he didn't do it. He didn't obey. He didn't obey. But you know what else he didn't do? He didn't say, yeah, he says, "Oh, it was the people. That's why. That's why we didn't kill them all. That's why we brought the best back, the people." He didn't even own up to what had happened. David owned up to his. He repented. When he was out of line, he repented. And he went away. And that's why I say he was not ashamed of, you know, because he was human. We're humans. We're humans. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to blow it. We are going to blow it. But we need to be quick to ask him for that forgiveness. And he is faithful and just, and he will forgive you. But one thing about David, He embraced the plans that God had for him, as we should. And under God's direction and with God's help, we can live out the plans and truly experience the abundant life. Let your life be a living testimony to others. Let the glory of the Lord reflect through you. See, it's your testimony. What will it produce? 30, 60, 100.